Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio, coming to you live from the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. You know, it's a big football weekend, of course. The NFL on Saturdays now. It always feels weird when the NFL plays on Saturday, the first time it happens. Because you're just so used to it being, oh, okay, it's Sunday. Okay, it's Monday. All right, it's also Thursday. Now it's Saturday. So that's, of course, something we're going to get to. And there's something I really want to say about a particular player in the NBA as well. And actually, the sports update before I came on the air, there was a soundbite that caught my attention. Really quickly first, I like that the Sacramento Kings trolled Steph Curry last night with they showed the moon landing during the intro of the game. And I was really like, I was one of the media guys who was really upset when Steph said that, because Steph's such a smart dude and such a great ambassador for the NBA. So I'm glad he took it back quickly. That was the thing that was most important to me, is like he took it back quickly and didn't let it become a Kyrie Irving thing. And I'm still not sure the point he was trying to make. You know, later he said it was basically his little protest to let it go and see what it became. I don't understand what point that made. That you're a really famous person, and if you say something really dumb as a really famous person, people are going to talk about it. Like, that's the point. I don't understand. Because it really bothered me just simply in the sense that he does have a voice, right? And if he's spreading that garbage, then there are going to be kids who hear that and parrot it. And the day and age we live in, especially, I mean, that's what amplifies it more than anything else. The day and age we live in where people just are spreading pure trash all the time, you know, where somebody will share a meme and that makes them think it's a fact because it's in a meme form without any, like, basis or research behind it or anything like that. You know, the truth matters. You're entitled to your own opinion. You're not entitled to your own facts. So for Steph to put something out there like that was irksome, I'll say. And you know what I don't understand about things like this? The moon landing being fake and the earth being flat. And ultimately, it's like silly nonsense. I get that. But like, what do people who spread that or somehow have warped their mind to believe that, what do they gain from it? That's my big question. I mean, with the earth flat thing, there's no even incentive for that to be fake, right? Like, who is the they that is telling you the earth is round when it's actually flat, and what is the they gaining from that? Nothing. There's absolutely no reason for there to have been a conspiracy that the earth is flat. And of course, I don't even like entertaining it because we know it's not. You can prove that yourself. And then the moon landing thing. At least with the moon landing, I could understand, all right, back then there was this race to space, so they would have faked it to win the race to space. But since then, of course, and since that's clearly been debunked, and since we actually went to the moon several times in that instance, and there are people still alive who were there, and Buzz Aldrin punched someone in the face for saying it was fake, and so on and so forth. Since that point, like, the people who are spreading it now, like, what do they gain from that? Like, what is the upshot for them? Hey, the moon landing was fake because it makes me feel good to say it because I don't understand. And I actually have people tell me, well, there's research. No, there's not. You know, random tinfoil hat dude on YouTube is not research. And random meme on Facebook is not research. A lot of the mess that we're currently in is in large part to do to people just believing garbage nonsense that's spread with no actual factual basis or no actual research behind it or no actual point. So I'm glad that was resolved, and I didn't have to, you know, start rooting against Steph Curry or something like that, because that's the kind of thing that would make me root against him. And he's such an unbelievable player. The way I put it before is if you had told somebody back at the moon landing that someone would be shooting 30-something foot threes off the dribble consistently, they would have told you that wasn't true. They wouldn't have believed you on that. But Steph cleared it up, so we're all well. We're all good. We can move on, and I don't have to talk about the moon here today on the program. Now, during the Open, I heard a soundbite from Doug Peterson talking about Carson Wentz. And basically, what he said was true. He said that the media could start to spin it as concern about Carson Wentz. Well, I don't think it would be spin to say there should be some concern about Carson Wentz. I mean, he in now back-to-back years has suffered a pretty significant injury. Last year, of course, it was the ACL. And this year, he has a stress fracture in the vertebrae in his back. And, you know, it's a bummer for them. It's a bummer for him. I think most significantly, I mean, this is a guy who a year ago, right around this time, was in MVP talks. And all of a sudden, you go from promising young QB, perhaps future MVP, to wondering about his playing status and whether he'll get back to that level. And I think that's fair, right? I mean, back-to-back seasons, like I said. And also, a little bit has to be brought up when it comes to his playing style. Now that the Ravens have made official their switch from Joe Flacco to Lamar Jackson, people brought up with Lamar Jackson, his running style, can he keep it up, right? He could get hurt. Wentz does a lot of that. Not quite to the same degree Lamar Jackson does, but a lot of situations he puts himself where he can get hit. And by the way, does anybody, for the record, notice that it was very easy for the Ravens to go from Joe Flacco to Lamar Jackson? Those guys are not similar type of quarterbacks. I would imagine the system they run isn't exactly the same. So if there's any coaches out there who are saying that they couldn't bring in a more talented quarterback because the playing style doesn't fit the system, I could point to the Ravens just in the middle of the season switching from Joe Flacco to Lamar Jackson with no problem. Seems to work fine. But back to the Eagles and Carson Wentz. The other thing Peterson said was that it's the nature of the sport where these sort of things can happen. And again, he's completely correct there. I mean, the NFL is a dangerous game, and it lends itself to people getting hurt. And it's very, fickle in the sense that you can go from Carson Wentz, future MVP, to should we be worried about Carson Wentz in the matter of a couple of months, a couple of weeks sometimes, a couple of days sometimes. And the Eagles are kind of an example of that right now as well, where you take the Philadelphia Eagles and you're looking at a team that was in the Super Bowl a year ago, forget just being in it, they won it. They won the Super Bowl, and now the playoffs are starting to slip away unless Nick Foles has another run in him. And that would be a heck of a storyline, right? Nick Foles comes back in again, and the Eagles right the ship and start rolling. And then you have a genuine QB controversy, perhaps, in Philadelphia. But it illuminates how precarious a situation can be in the NFL and really how uncertain the whole state of the league is right now, which is good, by the way. I mean, that's one of the things that is the biggest selling point for the sport. Other than New England always being there, it seems like everything else is up in the air. And the Patriots, they don't look particularly dominant this year. That doesn't mean really anything when it comes down to it, because they're going to be there because their division is weak. And I you know, I've said this a million times, but I think the AFC East should be renamed Patriots and Friends. That should be the name of the division until further notice. But if you look at the NFL, aside from that, like, what are you sure of? Because a year ago, you have the Super Bowl team. They're now a couple games behind the Dallas Cowboys in the NFC East, who a few weeks ago, if we were talking about the Dallas Cowboys, we would have talked about them being a dumpster fire. And now they're looking like the division favorites after they got Amari Cooper, who people said wasn't worth a first-round pick. By the way, I wasn't one of those people, just for the record. I liked that trade from the second it happened. I don't like to participate in groupthink. So I guess that's the sign of the, kind of the question, like, what's the one thing you're sure about with the NFL right now? All that uncertainty, it can change from one play to the next. Is there one thing you're certain of right at this very moment? 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227, at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. That's RobinLundberg. Because, you know, I'm sure that the Chiefs were the best product in the league. You know, that's my favorite product to consume, but they sort of blew it the other night. Now they have the same record as the Chargers in that division. And people are starting to talk about Philip Rivers as the MVP, which is ridiculous, by the way. I mean, Philip Rivers is good, but Patrick Mahomes is the MVP over the course of the season. Let's not get cute, because we're getting like, oh, hey, he had a good game late in the season against this particular team. He's the MVP. No. It's Breeze was in the conversation, of course, throughout the most of the year, but he's tailed off a little bit. Donald, obviously, in there, but it's Patrick Mahomes. That's another thing I'm sure about with the NFL. Patrick Mahomes is the MVP. Is there something you're sure about right now? 855-212-4227. Or what's the biggest question you still need answered? 855-212-4227. It's the Robin Lundberg Show, and it's here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio, and CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. What's the thing you're certain about in the NFL right now, or the biggest question you still need answered? Because it seems like everything is up in the air at this very moment. How about Joe in Pittsburgh? Joe, you're up first here on CBS Sports Radio.
Yes, sir. The thing I'm certain of, it hasn't really changed. It's before the season, I said the Saints would win the Super Bowl. Wasn't quite as sure of who the opponent would be. I had it down to the Steelers and the Chargers. Of course, I thought Le'Veon Bell would show up. And I wouldn't totally rule the Steelers out, you know, because they can get hot, and they've proven they can even win on the road in the playoffs, you know, with Ben. The Chargers, they're now getting those breaks that they used to not get. They're winning those close games. And chances are, if they end up the wild card, they're going to end up playing Pittsburgh, and they're going to end up playing Kansas City on the road. And guess what? They just beat both those teams on the road in real close games. So they're going to have the confidence, you know, they could do it again. So I can't go away from it. The Saints, they're the most complete team in the sense that they can run it, they can pass it, They play good enough defense. You don't have to have great defense. They've got the franchise quarterback, the Super Bowl winning coach. Those are the things, you know, I kind of look for. And then the Chargers, maybe they just come up short. So right now I'd have to say Saints and the Chargers.
So you got the Saints and the Chargers in the Super Bowl. That, like, you say that with a degree of confidence that I could not have about any pairing of two teams right now. The thing that irritates me the most is if I had to pick one team in the AFC, I'd probably pick New England. That's the say, you know, I'm into being correct rather than brave in that sense. And it's, you know, New England every damn year. I hope not. But I like Kansas City's my favorite team to watch, as I was just saying. But you can't exactly have the utmost confidence in them, given that it would be the first rodeo for Mahomes. We know Andy Reid's track record in some of those situations. But there's a bunch of teams. Like, if I were to count up the number of teams who I would... That's a good question. How many teams do you think you could see in the Super Bowl? Like, what's the number of teams that you could possibly see making in the Super Bowl? Let's count that up real quick, guys. What do you think? I would say the Rams, the Seahawks. Like, would it shock you if the Seahawks made the Super Bowl? Anthony, what do you think? I can barely see your head.
No, Seahawks, no.
So that's two. He's like, make me talk into this microphone. The Saints. The Bears. What about the Cowboys? Do they make that list?
No, I don't think so. Bears, I would say no as well. That was one of my big question marks would be the Chicago Bears, just because, you know, can you trust Mitchell Trubisky? I mean, the defense obviously is great, but... do you have enough faith in Trubisky to lead you? So that's why I wouldn't count the Bears.
Even though they're 9-4 with a +112?
Yes, because I'm asking about the quarterback. Do you trust Mitchell Trubisky?
No, but that's a question as why they – I agree that's a huge question on why they couldn't make it. But I think I would throw them in the mix of teams that wouldn't stun me if they made it. And I would actually put Dallas there too, so that's five. I think there's five in the NFC. At this point, I'm done with Minnesota – and everybody else. And then in the AFC, Kansas City and the Chargers. The Texans. The Steelers. You're saying no?
No, they just have too many problems, and it's been showing the last few weeks.
I feel like they could turn that around. You know, they go on runs. They have these weird patterns, and I trust Mike Tomlin. More than anything else, I mean, the guy has never had a losing season, and he's been there before. I would throw the Steelers and the Texans in there. What about the Ravens?
No, not with Lamar Jackson.
And the Patriots? So that's 10? Without counting Indianapolis, who I wouldn't put in there. So there's, I just counted 10 teams that I think legitimately I could see in the Super Bowl. How many teams do you think you could legitimately see in the Super Bowl? 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. Let's go to Kendrick in Shreveport, Louisiana. You're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey.
What's up, Kendrick?
I really believe the topic you said about the switching the quarterbacks in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
I think you hit the nail right on the head.
Well, I mean, like, obviously I was alluding to the Colin Kaepernick thing in Washington and it being ridiculous whenever anybody tries to say, oh, you know, they'd have to change or overhaul the whole system. We just saw Joe Flacco to Lamar Jackson seamlessly. And Derek Anderson was Cam Newton's backup for however long, right?
I think if he would have started his protest when he was on top of his game, I don't think people would be saying this. You know, I think it was more where he started his protest on his downfall.
Yeah, I mean, but even when last seen, when last seen, he was clearly an NFL quarterback and yeah. Probably a starting one. But go ahead. Did you have a different point to make?
No, I totally agree on it. Like all my friends, that's all we've been talking about. You know, the Ravens switching to Jackson, you know, which is a total, complete different quarterback. You know, and that was actually my question, what I had to ask, and you nailed it.
Well, I mean, like, and doesn't that, like, reflect poorly on the coach? I mean, to me, when Gruden said that, he was just trying to make people go away. Don't ask me about this anymore, please. It's like he read the comment section of a post about Kaepernick, right, and just went with that. Oh, yeah, that sounds good. But yeah. If you're actually, like, thinking about it for a second, one, as we were just saying, it's been proven you can do that easily. And two, you're a bad coach if you can't do that.
Yeah, I mean, look at Nick Foles stepping in and going all the way to the Super Bowl.
I mean, he's different than Wentz for sure. I don't think it's quite as drastic as some of those other examples that we're bringing up. But aren't you, like, telling on yourself as a coach? You know what? I'm not capable. I'm not even capable of making an adjustment to bring in a more talented player. I'm not. Bring out Mark Sanchez. More Mark Sanchez. I mean, it's kind of true, right?
You're listening to The Robin Lundberg Show.
It is The Robin Lundberg Show. Here on CBS Sports Radio. You know, it's been a really good season for the NFL. All the, like, negativity that was swirling, and trust me, I was a part of it, it's kind of gone. I mean, the Kareem Hunt situation was ugly. I don't want to dismiss anything like that, but for the most part, it's been a really good year for them. See the numbers up. You see people happy with the product. I mean, really, the only hanging thread, the only one thing that is keeping it from being almost like pristine for them at the moment is the Kaepernick situation. You know, coming up over and over and over again, rightfully so, because the owners are too arrogant or too bad, I mean, to, like, get over whatever it was that they did behind the scenes to make sure that guy's out of the league. Other than that, everything's going well. Robert Schneider tweets in, Robin, good morning, and always thank you for the outstanding commentary. You're welcome. Rename the AFC East, like, rename the Lakers the LA LeBrons. Is Walton still coaching? Well, I mean, the Lakers are a prestigious franchise, and I don't know, we don't need to spin anything negatively for them. Whatever's going on, Luke Walton's definitely on the sideline. Whatever's going on is working for him. The real Kozlak tweets in, when in doubt, Brady and Belichick. That's what I said before. I mean, people ask me for my Super Bowl picks before the year, and I always say the Patriots, and I'm not a Patriots fan. In fact, I root against the Patriots, but I also don't play or hate, and I don't front, it's you got to separate your emotions from your better judgment. And I'm on a pretty good run, by the way. I know this is the business of tooting your own horn, so it doesn't exactly, it's not exactly unique. And I also am aware that I make fun of sports guy who says he's the best at talking about sports. But I want to point out for the record a few things. I said before the year, well before the year, that Patrick Mahomes would be the breakout star of the season. Like, that was a direct quote, so that's one. Two, I said that the Amari Cooper trade was a good trade for the Dallas Cowboys when everybody was making fun of it. And then with the Lakers, I probably said, I don't know how many times I probably said this, Anthony, but that they would be just fine and they'd be contending, and everybody who was saying otherwise is going to look like a fool. Those are pretty strong declarative statements that I could hang my hat on at the moment. Dodger Blue Jackson tweets in, I only see four teams, the Chargers, Patriots, Saints, and Rams. If Chicago had a better offense, then I would have included them too. I see 10. There are 10 teams. If they made the Super Bowl, wouldn't shock me. New England, Pittsburgh, Houston, Kansas City, the Chargers, the Cowboys, the Bears, the Saints, the Rams, and the Seahawks. Any combination of those 10 teams wouldn't surprise me. How many teams do you think could realistically, reasonably be in the Super Bowl? 855-212-4227. Let's go to Ryan in Massachusetts. Ryan, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay.
What's up, Ryan?
Hey, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. Yeah, listen, so honestly, when I think about the NFL, really the one thing that's going to be constant, and we know that the Raiders are not going to be playing in Oakland next year.
Where are they? What is going on with that, by the way? It's hard to follow. Let me back up a second. How does that happen? How do you make this? How does a huge company like the NFL and a huge franchise like that make this decision to move without knowing what they're doing in the meantime? Like, how do these things not get planned out? That boggles my mind.
Yeah, I don't know. Either way, they got a lawsuit. I mean, it's kind of stupid. But, you know, I think the thing that really keeps us all vested, that keeps us all engaged in the NFL, you got 32 teams, 16 games, and I really feel that with so much variability on every team, you know what I mean? That's what keeps us wanting to watch. I mean, you could take, like you were saying, the Patriots, yeah, they might be at the Super Bowl or they might be at the end of the playoffs, but you look at Miami and that game that they played a couple of weeks ago, and I mean...
Well, they're not unbeatable, right? I mean, they're always there, but they're not unbeatable.
Right, right. And that's the point. I think you can get these teams who just come out of nowhere, and it's like, you know what I mean? Or, you know, take, for example, Washington, two quarterbacks who broke their legs, and now, you know what I mean? So it's just, that's what keeps us vested, and that's what keeps us engaged. So that's all I wanted to say about that.
Sure, and it's something that the league can, you know, pride itself on and project out there and be correct about. I mean, the Patriots are the one exception. But again, even if they're in the Super Bowl almost every year, they were a few plays away from losing to the Jaguars, and they lost in the Super Bowl. And it's something I brought up with the NBA this year. I think we're seeing it start to emerge in the NBA, which is awesome. I think we're starting to see an emerging parity in the NBA and, you know, NFL-style parity in the NBA. But right now, you know, we're in the mix of the NFL season. We're just a couple weeks away from the playoffs. And to be honest, this is the part – the reason I'm asking a question like this today is we're almost past the games of real significance. They're almost done. There aren't many left, to be honest with you. Like, real significant. Like, the Chargers played the Chiefs on Thursday night. That game was significant, but it wasn't really significant. It wasn't, you know, a huge deal where one of these teams is going to be out of the playoffs and the other isn't. The Chiefs want to lock up home field. That'd be nice, right? That'd be great. The Chargers want to win the division. That'd be nice. That'd be great. But neither of those teams' season was on the line at that point. And the playoff field is more or less set for the important teams, for the teams, again, that were, when I'm talking about the teams that could possibly make it, are there any teams that I said that could possibly make it who still won't make the playoffs? I think Pittsburgh's probably the only team on the bubble of the playoffs right now that I could see in the Super Bowl.
I just don't see it. Like, going back to 2005, Pittsburgh did have their problems, and you did say they can get hot. They certainly did that in 2005, but just with all the drama that was taking place all the season, the Le'Veon Bell,
if somebody had said to you that the Steelers would be could make the Super Bowl like 3 weeks ago, what would you have said?
Before the Jacksonville game, I thought they had a really good chance, but it's just starting to take a downfall. But I do think they're going to play New England.
So say they beat New England this week. Then all of a sudden that whole narrative changes. Like, all it takes is that one win for them. That's the big game, actually. The Pittsburgh and New England is the game.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, but I just feel like it's starting to take that toll, though. That I've just been saying that for the last couple weeks.
855-212-4227. Let's go to Victor in Richmond, Virginia. What's up, Victor? You're on CBS Sports
Radio.
Hey,
how are you doing?
Good, man.
Yeah, I just wanted to touch base about the Jay Gruden foolishness.
Yeah.
It's like you would have to change the entire system for Kaepernick, but Josh Johnson and Kaepernick's game isn't that different.
Well, I mean, like, all the excuses, again, are thrown out the window. Look, well, he hasn't played in a while. Well, neither had Mark Sanchez, and Mark Sanchez is a bum. And Johnson hasn't played in, what, 10 years? not that long, but a long time. And then the switching the system stuff, it's just a bunch of nonsense. It's just a way to, hey, I want to make this question go away. Please stop asking me about it. The NFL doesn't want him.
It's obvious the franchise doesn't have issues with character issues because they drafted Geist and then they went turned out around.
They signed Ruben, or they picked up Ruben Foster off waivers, yeah.
Right.
And there's no character issue. So, like, again, I don't even want to put that in the air because we're not talking about somebody with a character issue. Like, the fact that those people would be compared, like the fact that Ruben Foster would somehow find himself in a comparison with Colin Kaepernick is absurd and insulting. Like, that's an insulting thing to say for someone who is one guy is doing nothing wrong And depending on your perspective of things, is making, you know, a huge grand historical statement versus another guy who has a history of violence. I mean, that's it's ridiculous to even put the two in the same sentence.
Absolutely. And I'm going Chiefs Rams 2.0 for the Super Bowl.
Chiefs Rams 2.0. I'd sign up for that. I'd sign up for that. Give me some new blood there. And obviously, I think both of those teams are clearly, I don't think that would shock anybody if those were the two teams. I wonder if people are, you know, that down on the Chiefs at this very moment. I mean, though, like, look at the Chiefs on the year. It's pretty funny that we harp on them for a loss. Do you know what the Chiefs' three losses are this season? They're 11-3. They lost in New England 43-40. They lost to the Rams on the road to the Rams 54-51. And they just lost that game to the Chargers, albeit this one was at home, but 29-28. So they've lost three games by a combined 7 points. The Chiefs' losses have come by a touchdown. A single touchdown on the entire year. A single touchdown against teams that are respectively 11-3, 11-2, and 9-4. So I understand people could spin that the other way and go, you gotta beat the really good teams to prove yourself. But if those are your three losses, I can't really harp on you. I can't really be like, oh, yeah, the Chiefs aren't for real. They got three losses by a touchdown to the other teams that could be in the Super Bowl. You know, the other teams that you could do to three teams, you could go, oh, yeah, that team could win the Super Bowl. Clearly. Maybe they feel the loss of Hunt from a football standpoint at some point. The kid who played the other day, Williams, filled in pretty well. And I think, you see that with running backs all the time. It's a, you know, an oft-talked-about topic. It's, you know, the last caller referenced, or somebody just recently referenced Le'Veon Bell. And we know what happened with James Conner there now. Arguably, in the last few weeks, it's been shown that the Steelers miss what Le'Veon Bell can do. And I'm not saying that running backs are just completely replaceable, because there are guys who are better than the next. It's a bit of a nuanced conversation. It's, you know, I think that the Giants were right to take Saquon Barkley, given what we've seen from Saquon Barkley, right? I mean, he's a special dynamic talent. With that said, I also think that there are so many guys that you can plug in who can be effective at that position. And really, that speaks to simply the talent pool. Think about how many guys out there are playing running back and doing it at a major school and having some success, and then there's only a certain amount of opportunities at the NFL level. So one of these other guys is getting a crack, though they may not be Saquon Barkley, though they may not be Le'Veon Bell in that sense, they still, in their own right, were damn good in what they did in a simple position to play for the most part. You know, it's not exactly like, I mean, part of being a running back is instinctual. Get the ball, run through the hole, don't get tackled. See the play develop, roll out, catch the ball, try and pick up yardage. Dwayne in Pittsburgh. Dwayne, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Dwayne?
Hey, man, I just wanted to comment on the Kansas City game. I'm not necessarily a Chiefs fan, but I have Mahomes in my fantasy league.
Which makes you like a quasi-Chiefs fan, probably.
Yeah, everybody thinks I'm this genius. I just picked him because I was down on my, you know, luck.
Yeah. I took him too, but I took him for not because I was down on my luck, because I was like, hey, I think this guy could have a great year. But to be fair, to hedge my own bets, I then took Jared Goff with my subsequent pick, who rode the bench for me the entire season. But go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, just watching the game, I noticed San Diego, if they purposely did or not, the formula to me to beat the Chiefs is don't get in the you know, pinball machine thing where you're back and forth. ball control offense, keep Mahomes kind of on the bench. Like the first half, Mahomes only had the ball, I think, three times, and he scored two of the three times. He just didn't have the ball a whole lot. And, you know, San Diego used ball control. And let's you know, face it, the Chiefs do not have a defense at all. So I think if you can keep Mahomes kind of on the sideline, he's not going to be putting up, you know, six touchdown passes a game, man.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. And of course, that's the kind of way you want to attack him. But again, what I was referencing before, they've played and lost to some really good teams and barely. So those are the kind of games that could go either way. The Chargers don't pick up that two-point conversion. The Chiefs win that game. You know, the New England game, I think it was a field goal, right? I mean, like, there are a play or two in various games that change it. But if you talk about defense, they're dead last right now in total defense. Where are they at in points allowed per game? Because I don't know if total defense is the only measure of... They're 28th in points allowed. So, yeah, the defense is a problem. Defense is a problem. That's for sure. Chris in Richmond. Chris, you're on CBS Sports Radio. Real quick, I only got a minute, man. Go ahead.
That's cool. I just wanted to know, I know you picked up your playoff teams, and I just wanted to know, which one do you feel like is a bigger trade, the Cooper trade or the Mac trade for that team making to the playoffs?
Oof.
Good question.
It is a good question. I really don't know the answer to that. I guess I would say the Mac trade because he's been there all year. That's my tiebreaker. He's been there all year, and the Bears have been good all year. But Amari Cooper absolutely changed the fortunes of the Dallas Cowboys. He turned them into a different team because he at least made you go, all right, there's someone we have to consider running down the field and catching the ball. We have to at least consider that an option when before it was like, nah, that's not happening. Sorry, Cole Beasley. 855-212-4227 at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. It's the Robin Lundberg Show, and it's here on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.